The lunatics have arrived.
Stardate, December 12th. The Winter Milky Way. Stay with us.
Stardate is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate December 12th. If you look in the west early tonight, you'll see some Christmas lights made of stars. The star grouping known as the Northern Cross has been up in the evening since June, when it rose on its side in the east. Now the cross can be seen in the west after sunset. It stands upright like a proper cross, just in time for Christmas. The Northern Cross soon will be gone for the year, taking with it the last remnants of the summer Milky Way. In summer, you can follow the Milky Way southward from the cross to its broadest portion in the constellation Sagittarius. By now, Sagittarius has long since disappeared below the horizon. The summer Milky Way has slowly followed it down, and by mid-January, when the cross is gone, it too will be gone entirely. But although the bright starlit trail of summer has withdrawn, the faint winter Milky Way remains. We never completely get out from under the Milky Way. It's always somewhere in the sky because it's always surrounding us in space. The Milky Way is our own galaxy, a star city inhabited by hundreds of billions of stars. In summer, we look toward the center of the galaxy. That's why the summer Milky Way looks rich and broad overhead. In winter, our night sky is turned in the opposite direction, toward the sparse outer limb of the galaxy. The winter Milky Way is faint, but it's still there, ambling along through Cassiopeia in the northwest and Canis Major in the southeast. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory in Austin, zip 78712. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
You know what I say? I say we've been joined in progress.
Somebody's been playing our theme.
That's right.
Well,
we made it. We're here again. Another Friday night, Saturday morning.
I'm Mike Juhas.
I'm Eric Orley, and for how many weeks in a row have we done this now?
Many, 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 many.
More than one.
That's true. We didn't do it on Halloween night, though. Morning.
We were here, though, in some sense, weren't we?
You were. I was on the phone in Connecticut.
But we have always appeared. Well, that was a very short theme, wasn't it?
Hmm.
We'll have to make up for it.
Yeah.
We've always appeared at one time or another during this time segment, 12 midnight to 3.
Except for one time.
What was the one time?
During Fall Fest.
Well, that's right. You weren't there at all, were you?
I was there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Around 9 o'clock or so.
Yeah, and you decided to go home. And well, it was only an hour long that day anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's 4 minutes after 12 o'clock.
Plus, I had to go to work that next day, too.
Yeah. This is the voice of Long Island.
You made it.
We have all sorts of crazy things coming your way. We have an interview with some weird person.
Well, he's not really all that weird. He's just
different. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
All right. We always have interesting people here.
We've got Bunky and Spunky coming up for you.
New episode of the Tripods.
Something else?
We have well, some other things.
Yeah.
Some other exciting things coming your way. And, of course, we have you, our listeners out there who
listen to the
voice
of Long Island
and can give us ideas as to what to do. Maybe an idea of what the 2 o'clock album side should be tonight. You have any ideas, Mike?
Nope. I have one idea.
Some things never change.
That's true. I have one idea, though.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about it later.
You had one idea, or
no,
you
have?
Oh, you have one currently in your head.
For the album side.
I thought you looked a little different.
Mm-hmm.
You do have
a little
bit
swelled up, you see.
Yeah, right. Well, I hope you let it out soon.
Yeah.
Don't want to take up excess space in there.
Right.
Well, we have some special things coming your way. Our number's 246-7901. Area code 516.
Well, let's get into the music.
Why don't we get into the music?
And jamming. Who is this, anyway?
I don't know.
Doesn't say.
That's on Penetrate Records.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Things a request from Buddy's show, The Selector on 94.1 FM.
UFOs. So here are some tips on flying saucer etiquette. Now, never laugh at the aliens, no matter how funny they may look. It's not their fault, and besides, they could be easily insulted.
Just because you're on a spaceship against your will doesn't mean you can ignore the rules of polite society. So don't go blowing your nose in any piece of cloth that's handy. It could be the commander's uniform or even his pet.
Never attempt to have sex with an alien, even if it does look like fun. They may not be built the same way as people. Besides, if you get pregnant, especially if you're a man, it'll be awfully tough to explain.
Even though aliens may be naive in some matters, doesn't mean you should try and sell them the Brooklyn Bridge. Besides, our friend Junkie already owns it, and he's easily missed.
Although you've seen Star Wars and always wanted to pilot a spaceship, don't play with the controls of the alien craft. You could cause an accident or wind up in the bottom of a black hole.
Now, if the aliens start poking and prodding you with weird stuff, just tell them that's not being very nice. And lecture them on how to be a good citizen and not to play with blasting caps. And that'll stop them dead in their tracks. So until next time, this is Spunky.
And Bunky reminding you that even aliens
don't play with blasting caps.
Oh,
forget that list. It's now the time of the program where we venture out into the billions and billions of life forms on this giant spaceship. We will take one sampling of life and examine it thoroughly and in depth. Where we will go and what we will find, nobody knows. But we can find out. And beware. Because sooner or later, we're going to get you. On the Voice of Long Island. Really great music, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
It's inspiring.
The best theme music I've ever heard.
It'd be great for like a TV show or something that has to do with space and shows stars and planets and things. And maybe they have some guy who can just sort of bring it to the people.
Yeah, just like a regular guy in appealing regular terms.
Who knows a lot about science.
Well, you ought to bring that up to somebody.
I think I'm going to go to PBS with that idea for a program.
That's a good
They're
idea.
The only people who would do it.
Well, you know, we do have somebody on our long-distance telephone line right now.
Do we?
And in just a minute, we'll get to him. He's Dr. William Lynch. And there's an article I read here in Volume 120 of Science News, which came out in September. September the 12th, to be exact, under the topic behavior, the headline says, "Video games may aid brain injured."
Hmm.
And Dr. Lynch's theory is that, well, why don't we just let him explain it? Now, let's just move the microphone over here to the speaker. Dr. Lynch, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Could you explain your theory of how, well, exactly what you're all about?
Sure. Back a couple of years ago, it occurred to me that all of the video games, electronic games we're seeing increasing everywhere might be helpful in working with brain-injured people. And one of the reasons was because a lot of the activities that are required to play the games are just the kinds of things we're trying to teach people to do or to relearn after a head injury or a stroke. So we obtained some equipment and started doing this, as I said, about 2 years ago. And in the last year or so, we've really gotten a little bit more intense about it and have found it to be very helpful in training people with problems with eye-hand coordination, people who have difficulty with tracking, visual tracking, following objects across their visual field, and people who have trouble concentrating, memory difficulties, really a number of different problems that result from brain injury.
So you have seen a great progress in their recuperation.
Well, so far it looks promising. I think our problem at this point is that we haven't had enough people with the same kinds of problems so that we could say, you know, with certainty that this helps better than other kinds of methods. But it certainly does appear to be very useful. And I think not only in my unit, but a number of places around the country, they're beginning to experiment with them, and I think results seem to be the same, favorable.
Tell me, does the patient have to insert a quarter each time he wants to play the game?
No, this is the federal government. He doesn't have to do that. It's absolutely free, for them at least. And the games that we're using are the same kinds that you would buy at the store and use in your home television. Only recently we're getting into using computers as well, but for the most part, up to this point, we've been using the home video game. It's the Atari video game that everyone else could buy in the store.
What particular games do you think work best?
Well, we prefer the simpler ones. Things like Pong and Breakout seem to work out well, and we also use a cartridge called Brain Games, which has a number of memory games in it, and also one called Air Sea Battle, where if you can imagine the kind of visual display you'd see in a shooting gallery, where things are coming across the screen at different levels and different speeds and different directions, and the person has to wait and try to shoot them down as they go by. And we have a number of others that such as maze games and concentration games that we use from time to time. But the ones we use most frequently are the things like Pong, Breakout, and Brain Game.
I see. You're in the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Palo Alto, California.
That's right.
I guess you deal basically mainly with veterans, right?
That's right.
How do they react to such games as Air Sea Battle? Wouldn't that be some sort of bad memory? That's the kind of thing that I would think of first off.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And I mean, you would think that would happen at least. Most of the people we've tried it with have not really reacted too negatively. The shooting gallery game that we use uses kind of clay pigeon kinds of targets. They're not living things or caricatures of living things. And so really, people see it as a shooting gallery, as a game like you see at a carnival. They don't see it as shooting things and killing them. And I, you know, my personal feeling is I would not like to see that kind of thing. I think they don't need to see more of that, shooting down the planes and killing people. As you know, some people, you may not, but some years ago there was a game out called Death Race. That actually was consisted of driving a car and trying to run people over. And if once you ran them over, they would scream and die, and a crucifix would appear in their place. And that was, I mean, kind of the epitome of this kind of sadism you can get sometimes in some games.
That's interesting. I know here in Suffolk County over the last couple of weeks, they've issued a moratorium on putting such games in various stores because they feel that it leads to the degeneracy of teenagers. It's interesting that you're using it for a constructive use. I was wondering if you had any feelings on how it was being used in mainstream society today.
Yeah, I think that is apparently a nationwide concern, because in the Bay Area, in Oakland recently, they passed an ordinance where many of the video game arcades can't be open until after school is out, to prevent adolescents from gathering there during school hours, you know, skipping school. I think as with any kind of activity, whatever it may be, and if somebody does it 4 or 5 hours a day, no matter what it is, it's probably not good for them. And it would include jogging, you know, or crocheting. It's too much of a good thing. And I think it's not so much that playing a video game will hurt a person, but I feel it's what they're missing, what they're avoiding by playing the game all the time. That's really detrimental. So I think, while they can be helpful, and while with our patient population they seem to help them, you have to bear in mind we're using the games with individuals usually for 30 minutes at a time. Sometimes we may go as much as an hour, but even then we usually vary the game. But typically it's 30 minutes in a day, so we're not really overloading them. And I think certainly you can get too much of it.
After they're done playing with the games, do they get to watch their favorite TV shows like I Love Lucy and that kind of thing?
No. It's not really that we're withholding that tremendous joy from them. It's just that our TV is wired to the computer and can't get commercial TV on it. So they just have to stick with what's on the screen on the computer.
That sounds like something in the future for most American homes, a TV channel that does nothing but play games.
Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, but most of the games that you can buy, I know that's true of Atari, that there's when you hook it up to your TV, there's a switch that allows you to quickly go to the video games and then right back to regular television just by flipping one switch. So by using a video game, you don't necessarily lose out on the regular TV program.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah, that is convenient.
Well, we wish you luck with this project, and we hope you get some really good results with it.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for talking with us.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And that was a...
That was an interview with Dr. William J. Lynch of the Veterans Administration Medical Center in Palo Alto, California. We can get rid of that now, right?
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. If I can turn the microphone around here.
Interesting things about video games.
Yeah.
Things like that. Pinball never did that for people.
We should have asked them.
About pinball?
Yeah.
Call them back. No.
Yeah.
No. They'll call them back. Pinball machines have never been used as therapy, but video games have been.
It's an interesting concept, and he doesn't concern himself with the moral values of after-school use by adolescents.
That's good.
Yeah,
I just hope people won't go out of their way to get themselves injured so that they can go into the hospital and play these things for free.
But he says you're only on them for half an hour a day.
Oh, is that it? There's a limit.
And, well, sometimes
there are a lot of temper tantrums.
Yeah, I'd hate to be the one that has to pull the machine away from somebody.
Okay, Mr. Smith, that's it.
No, I want to keep playing. Anyway, we got a bunch of music. We got all sorts of things coming up for you. Don't go away, because we got the tripods. We got a couple other things, and a 2 o'clock album slide. By the way, we're still taking not requests, but suggestions
for meaningful album slides that mean something to you or to somebody else, and you want to explain to us why you picked that album slide. We have a lot of weird albums here, so feel free to let your mind roam. Our number is
516-246-7901.
And that's in Stony Brook, WUSB.
That's right, and we are in Stony Brook, New York. And we're the program, what did they say? We step on the foot of authority.
Sometimes we stamp on the foot of authority, as you'll probably see in a few minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get away from video games now, I hope. No more future talk with video games. Let's not think about it anymore. They're here.
Uh-oh. Boom.
following tale you are about to hear could be the true story of those sovereign men in brown. Campus Anxiety. We join our heroes as they are chasing a speeding bicyclist.
We're gaining on him, Jim.
All right. I think he's pulling over. Why don't you get in front of him, Steve?
Gosh, you know, I don't know what gets into these here college kids sometimes. When I was their age, I'd never think of riding bicycles down public roads at breathtaking speeds.
Well, I clocked him at going 16 miles per hour in a 15 zone. And you know what that means.
Sure do. And we're going to throw the book at him.
Hey, give me that. Come on, Steve. You know it's my turn this time.
Sorry, Jim. I want this one.
Oh!
What a great shot, if I do say so myself.
Hey, why did you throw that book at me? I didn't do anything.
That's the Campus Anxiety Book of Don'ts, punk. You do well to read it.
One of them says, don't speed while riding a bicycle.
Page 246. Did you know about that one?
Speeding? Me? There must be some kind of mistake, officers. I was just taking a nice, leisurely bike ride.
Yeah, sure, at 16 miles per hour in a 15 zone.
Oh, come on. Who can stay under 15 miles per hour? I saw a jogger doing more than that.
Well, we didn't catch him, did we? We caught you.
And you're in big trouble.
Just how long have you been hiding out in this campus doing your dirty little deeds?
What?
You might as well confess it all now.
What are you talking about?
And what do you have in that basket?
Hey, you can't touch that. You need a search warrant.
Here's my search warrant. Now move aside.
That's not a search warrant. That's a fist. And I know the difference, you know.
Well, what have we here?
Well, it looks like an innocent bag of groceries, Steve.
It does, doesn't it? But how can we be sure?
Why don't we pour the contents all over the ground?
All right.
You can't do that.
Well, what do you know? They are innocent groceries.
Looks like you were lucky this time, you scum of the earth.
Don't let us catch you again. And we're still giving you a ticket for doing 16 in a 15 zone.
A ticket? Oh, I don't believe this.
And here it is. Patty Smith, March 16th, 3rd Row Center. Be there.
You'll never get away with this. I'll take this to the Supreme Court if I have to. My mother's a lawyer, you know.
Let him work off his hysterics by himself, Jim. We've got work to do.
Yeah, right. 104 just nabbed three people jaywalking by the dormitories.
Do they need help?
No, 109 and 101 backed them up. But there are plenty of other crimes going on right this very second.
Well, let's get to them.
Right.
Open the door.
You have the keys.
No, I don't. Oh, not again.
Calm down, Steve. Calm down, Steve. I'm only kidding. Here they are.
Don't do that, Jim. It's not funny. I swear, if we lock ourselves out of our car again, I'll go completely insane.
Steve, come on. Don't talk like that. You're an anxiety officer, so act like one.
You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. Let's get back on the road.
This campus is really starting to look nice, don't you think?
Ah, yes. I think those reinforced steel walls were a great idea.
Yeah, maybe now these kids will respect the place.
Hey, what's that over there?
Looks like about five or six guys dragging some girl into the woods.
She's putting up quite a fight, isn't she?
Yeah, I'll tell you. The games these kids play. Oh, my God. Look at that. Over there in the parking lot.
Well, what do you know? Another car taking up two parking spaces. We really onto something here, Jim.
I'll say. That's the third one in two nights. What kind of ticket should I give them?
How about that one over there?
Front row for the King family reunion?
Yeah. Yeah,
don't you think that's a little harsh?
Well, maybe you're right. All right, try this one right there.
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah.
Side reserved for a taping of the PTO Club. On Super Bowl Sunday, too.
Yeah.
That ought to teach them.
Tell me something, Jim.
What is it, Steve?
Well, do you ever feel upset that you're not a real cop with a navy blue uniform and a gun?
Never. And I'll tell you why, Steve, because every day I'm out here with you patrolling this campus, I'm proving to myself and to others that a campus anxiety officer is just as talented and just as important as a regular police officer. Oh, sure, there'll always be some who claim that we're a bunch of dimwits who don't know what's going on, or that we're ignoring the real crimes that are taking place and only focus on minor violations. But I know that's not true, and so do you. And so does everyone else who's ever put on a campus anxiety uniform.
You're absolutely right, Jim. And I feel a lot better already.
Now, come on. Let's go hand out some more of these tickets.
Yeah.
there you have it. Another day in the life of Capus Anxiety. Their names aren't important, but their job is. The story you have just heard may have been true, but then again, it may not have been.
Some software. When I say stand by, that means just be quiet, please.
Be quiet, please? Now, wait a second, Michael. A few times you ran in on me during when I was talking. This is the show that dares to step on the voice of authority.
The foot of authority.
Whatever, Michael.
Buddy Angelello still hasn't left here yet. Right. When are you going to get out of here, buddy? Oh, boy.
I'm going to stay here and drive you guys crazy till 3.
That's Rochelle Golden time. Anyway, we just heard from Software, which is a new LP on the Head First label. Just before that. Hi, buddy. He's knocking on the window there, just like I was doing to him before. Just before that, we heard from an album called Ragtime, which is music from the motion picture, plus additional music composed and conducted by Randy Newman. Well, just to be official about it, you are tuned to 90.1 FM, Long Island's non-commercial alternative at... Yeah, at 90.1 FM, that's right. WUSB, Stony Brook, and Mike Uhas, Sarah Corley's in the other room. Tripods are coming up real shortly, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, here's some Billy Hancock.
With every dream gone, so silent and lonely, the shades are all drawn. My heart is heavy as I gaze upon a cottage for sale. The lawn we were proud of is waving in hay. Our beautiful garden is withered away. Where you planted roses, the weeds seem to say, cottage for sale. From every single window I see your face. But when I reach that window, there's empty space. The keys in the mailbox are the same as before. Nobody's waiting for me anymore. The end of the story is told on the door, a cottage for sale. Nobody's waiting for me anymore. The end of the story is told on the door, a cottage for sale. A cottage for sale. A cottage for
That'd be the Hillmen. Yes, that's who that is. Well, what do we hear? We heard a bunch of stuff that time. We heard from Ross Trout. We heard something off of his new album. We heard from Mel Torme. How did that get in there? We started with Eric Corley on the other side of the wall there. And yes, and Eric, you're free to come in anytime you want.
Oh, I am.
Billy Hancock, we did start out with. And you can stop pressing the buttons. And what else was I going to say? That's about all I was going to say, actually. Oh, I was going to just say that it's about 22 past 1 and give the folks a progress report on the tripods. But I guess I don't have to do that now because you will.
Yeah, the tripods will be here by about 1:30.
By about 1:30?
Yeah.
Great, so that's about 8 minutes from now. Taking a look at the USB Long Island weather. Clear to partly cloudy and cold tonight with winds diminishing low in the mid to upper machine guns, 20s Fahrenheit. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and not quite so cold. Highs in the low to mid 40s. Clear tomorrow night. Lows in the 20s to low 30s. Sunday, mostly sunny and a little milder, high in the 40s. Right now, it's 1 degree, 33 F. And Rochelle says it's actually snowing where you come from.
It's snowing a lot.
It's snowing in places like in the...
Snowing heavily.
In Northport area, actually.
We want confirmation of these...
flakes.
Yeah, reports of snow. If you're out there and it's snowing by you, call us up, and you may win a prize, but you probably won't.
But it's possible, if you can actually substantiate your claim. That is, bring us some snow, and we'll give you something.
You know what I like to talk about, Mike, is the holiday record thing that we're doing this year.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that completely slipped my mind. I think that's one of the best things this station has ever done for mankind.
I agree. For the third year in a row we're doing it, we're giving our listeners the opportunity to make a child's holiday in the hospital a lot happier by giving them some records, which we will donate to various hospitals for every listener who sends us a card.
Or a letter.
Or a letter, or any, just an index card with your name on it, or just anything.
And the good part is, you don't have to do anything. You just send us your card or letter with your address on it.
It's so simple. It
and
really
name.
Is.
And we will donate this record in your name to a child in a Long Island hospital or child care facility.
Plus, we'll send a big, huge greeting card with the name of all you people and all of us here in the station to all these kids.
Right.
I was looking through the list of letters that we have gotten so far. It's pretty amazing, the response.
Why don't you go over it for a minute?
Okay. We got some stuff from East Patchogue, for instance, Mastic, Riverhead, East Setauket, all over Ronkonkoma, Southampton, Stony Brook, Center Reach, Bridgeport, Connecticut, Ridge, Upton.
Ridge.
Yeah, Upton.
Ridge.
Too.
You know, that's, yeah.
It's a big place, Ridge. It's just not too many people out there.
That's true. It's a big field.
Northport, where it's snowing, I believe, Smithtown, Fort Salonga, Lake Ronkonkoma, as opposed to regular Ronkonkoma.
Oh, let's hear it from regular Ronkonkoma.
Yeah, Fort Jefferson.
Did you ever see the bumper stickers that says Lake Ronkonkoma? LR is best by far.
No, I never did.
Oh. Carry on.
Seymour, Connecticut. Ooh, I never even heard of, well, no offense, but I never did hear about Seymour, Connecticut.
I have.
We have now.
Is that near Woodbridge?
But we got something from Woodbridge, too.
Son of a gun.
Interesting. In addition, Milford, Connecticut, another Connecticut place. Pequot, which is sort of near here. Miller Place, Holbrook, Sound Beach. And a special, very special thank you to the Pinto family of Central Islip, who sent us cards from each and every member of their family. We got about five separate cards from this one family. I think that's just great because that means five records will be donated in their various names.
Isn't that just swell?
And it's that's so easy to do, to make someone's holiday a little bit, you know, happier just by sending in your name. There's no, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to send any money. You won't be harassed by people.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. You get to be on our mailing list, though.
Well, that's true, but that's not exactly harassment.
Well, that's true. You just find something in your mailbox every now and again.
True.
I used to be on the station's mailing list before I was on the station.
Oh, that's heartening to hear.
It was one of the finest things in my life.
That's such a bad experience.
They used to send me program guides and find out about all different things that were going on in the air at those times.
Send you bumper stickers and wall posters and all sorts of other groovy things.
Only if you request them, though.
Yeah. Now, also, people on campus, there have been quite a few people on campus who've given us their names, but there should be a lot more because even on campus, it costs nothing to send something to us from on campus because there's what they call the intercampus mail service where you just drop something in,
put an X.
Your dormitory mailbox, I think you put an X where the stamp is supposed to be, and it gets sent anywhere on campus for totally free.
Totally free.
All you have to do is get an index card or something and just write your name on that, and it's as simple as that.
Simple as that.
Very simple.
Easy as pie.
So our address is
WUSB Holiday
Records.
State University of
New York
at
Stony
Brook. And Stony Brook is two words. No E in Stony, by the way.
Yeah, two O's in Brook.
As opposed to a U with the two dots over it.
Well, we got one Stony Brook, but that's not to be
mentioned. And if you're on Nesconset Highway, you'll see the sign that says Stony Burjock.
Really?
Did you ever see that sign?
No, I never did. Let me finish the address first. Stony Brook, New York.
11794. Right.
Now, tell me about this sign.
Oh, there's a road sign that points towards Stony Burjock.
How did that happen?
I don't know. It looked like part of the O had fallen off.
Oh, okay.
So it said B-R-J-O-K. Stony Burjock.
Uh-huh. Where is this sign?
On Nesconset Highway, right near Nichols Road, in the westbound lane.
It's there now.
It should be.
Okay, I'll have to check that on my way out of here tonight.
Even though you won't be going that way.
I make a point of it.
Right.
Hopefully it'll be snowing heavily by that time.
Right.
I like heavy snow.
That's right. And speaking about snow, we did ask our listeners to call up, and actually they're calling right now. In fact, the telephone's lit up like a Christmas tree, if you'll pardon the seasonal expression.
If I hear that one more time.
How about if we don't...
Wouldn't it be a lot more appropriate to say that the telephone's lit up like a menorah?
Yeah,
because after all, they light up one after another each day.
That's
true.
And
that's exactly what our phones do.
That's right. As soon as one line gets busy, the other one lights up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have all eight.
Yeah.
Plus the one in the center.
Right.
Okay, well, our number is
246-7901.
Area code 516. Let us know if it's snowing by you. It's not over here. We'll let you know as soon as it does.
Meantime, Don't Smoke in Bed from Nina Simone.
Left a note on his dresser, and my old wedding ring with these few goodbye. Goodbye, old sleepyhead. I'm packing you in like I said. wedding ring. Don't look for me. I'll get ahead. Remember.
Appreciation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Charlie and Pop last week, they were discussing their ideas for a new business venture that would involve Charlie's new Bulgarian truck. And as we tune in on today, we hear...
All right, wait a minute. Okay, try it now, Mr. Tripod. I wonder what's wrong.
I'll tell you what's wrong. It's a Bulgarian truck. It doesn't do the same things an American truck does. Like start.
Well, don't worry, Mr. Tripod. I'll get this thing to start one way or the other. I'll bet it's the rack and pinion steering that's causing the problem.
Oh, come on, Charlie. You don't even know what Yucky Rucky... I mean...
I know what you mean, Mr. Tripod.
Doug on it, Charlie. Let me finish what I was saying. How in the world could it be that if you don't even know what it is?
What?
You know.
Rack and pinion steering?
Yeah.
What about it?
Oh, never mind.
So, what was this idea you had about the two of us making a lot of money using this truck?
Oh, yeah, that. Well, I figured since Howard and Kathy are still waltzing around somewhere in France, we could use their house for our headquarters.
Hey, that is a good idea, Mr. Tripod. That house would make a perfect headquarters.
You think I don't know that, Charlie?
Yeah.
I don't talk off the top of my head, you know.
So your house will be the headquarters, and my truck will be the... Now, wait a minute. Didn't we leave something out?
What are you talking about?
All right, wait a minute. Try it now.
It's no good, Charlie. I don't think you're going to get it.
I'll get it. I just have to eliminate all the possibilities. And it's definitely not the rear lights that's causing the problem here. Now, I'd better check the mirrors.
Weren't you asking me a question, Charlie?
Yeah. Now that you mention it, Mr. T, what are we going to use that house as a headquarters for? And how is my truck going to fit into all of this?
Oh, I thought I just told you that.
I don't think you did.
Well, I'll repeat it then. Years ago, I used to work in a factory out in Big Bear City. That's where we came from, you know.
What? Oh, yeah, I know that, Mr. Tripod.
Oh, you know, you were staring off into space. I wasn't sure you were paying any attention.
I'm just thinking about how these cables should be arranged.
Why don't you try putting that one over there?
If I get it right, this thing will finally start. All right. Here, give it one more try. Okay, I think I have it. Keep on talking, Mr. Tripod. I'm listening.
Well, like I said, I used to work in this factory that made all kinds of bread. And I still remember how to do it.
Well, that's nice.
So that's what we can do.
What?
We can make bread.
Make bread?
That's right. We'll bake it next door, and then we'll load it up into your truck and deliver it to places all over Long Island. We'll make a fortune.
It does sound like a good idea.
Yeah, people are always eating bread, and they can also make toast out of it. And when it gets stale, they can just feed it to the birds.
You just might have something there, Mr. T. Yeah. All right, try it this time. All right, I've got it. Making bread. You know, I think that just might work out, Mr. Tripod. All right, try it out now.
And so Charlie and Pomp discuss their ideas for a joint business venture a little further. You want to be with us next time? When we'll hear Pop say...
Well, I think you got it now, Charlie.
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. A presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
The Rhythm Devils playing river music.
It certainly is.
And do you want me to play that now?
Why don't you play it after the news?
Okay.
As we go into our 2 o'clock album side, which we have picked out.
Right.
And boy, will you be surprised.
Just as surprised as I was. And you were, too.
You were kind of frightened, actually.
Oh, gosh, yes. Let me just explain what we heard. We heard Steps, Tar, and Lance. Three different cuts off the Rhythm Devils play rhythm music.
Now explain why we heard it.
Because Alan the Shellman wanted to hear it.
Okay.
Actually, he wanted to hear the other thing from the Apocalypse Now.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, but we always play that. So
I know, we do.
Why not play something that's like different?
We believe in dramatics here, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he was calling from
Santa Rita.
Is it snowing in Santa Rita?
Well, he was in his bathtub when he called.
He's got a phone in his bathtub?
Yeah, and he's listening on one of these little headset radios. You know?
Oh,
yeah.
One of those things that you see people walking all over the place and they have these little things in their ears and they're smiling.
Yeah.
And the whole world could be falling apart next to them, but they don't care. They're listening to the Bachman Turner Overdrive or something.
That's
in their
right.
head.
Yeah. Or either that or the Eagles or something.
Taking it easy.
Taking it easy.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite Eagles songs was not written by the Eagles, of course. It was Tom Waits tune, Old 55.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's doing them justice.
We'll have to play Tom after the other side of the news. But in any event, that was the Rhythm Devils.
Those were the Rhythm Devils.
That was, yes.
Or
that's
the like
dial
that.
Tone.
Dial Tone.
The Apocalypse Now session.
Why is there no band named Dial Tone?
I'm sure there must be.
No, the closest thing I can think of are the DBs.
Does that have to do with a dial
tone? I don't know, but for some reason it reminds me of Dial Tones.
There's the touch tones.
Yeah, there's no busy signal, there's no ring, and there's no, well, there are a few other things that could be. Why don't we just get into the news?
Well, it is 1 degree in Stony Brook. That's 34 Fahrenheit. It's 155. And on time, now Eric Corley with a look at the latest news.
Well, the daughter-in-law of Andrei Sakharov is on her way to say goodbye to the Nobel Prize laureate, Lisa Lazu Akaseva, sorry, was carrying
Why don't you
a gift
just
of
say his daughter.
His daughter was carrying a gift of 10 grapefruits as she climbed aboard a train in Moscow.
Sakharov is in domestic exile in Gorky. He and his wife went on a hunger strike 3 weeks ago to support their demand that the daughter being allowed to leave the Soviet Union and come to the United States. When it was announced that the daughter had been allowed to leave, the Sakharovs are reported to have ended their fast. And why the grapefruit? Grapefruit, well, she was told that they had begun drinking fruit juices.
His daughter was also told that her exit papers would be ready Monday and that she was free to travel to Gorky over the weekend. She was married by proxy last June to the dissident's stepson, who is in this country, the United States.
A federal appeals court reversed the decision awarding over $10 million in personal and punitive damages to the estate of Karen Silkwood. A lawyer for the estate said Friday night that if necessary, he's prepared to try the case again.
And while it was a happy day for the Kerr McGee Corporation, the company lawyer expressed some disappointment. He said he wanted the court to rule that the plant was safely operated and that Silkwood hadn't been harmed by radiation.
The United Steelworkers Union failed in its bid to represent workers at 14 DuPont plants, like gladiolas and that kind of thing. Oh, you're not done?
No, you're not done.
Why did you start talking?
Well, the Air Force has ordered the development of an advanced radar-guided missile. A missile would enable American pilots...
The elections were seen as a test of
the
strength of Captain 8-year organization drive by the Union and DuPont plants, like gladiolas and marigolds. Some of the workers voted not to have any union representation. Others voted for an independent union.
The Air Force has ordered the development of an advanced radar-guided missile. The missile would enable American pilots to fire at several enemy warplanes at the same time. The contract, worth more than $400 million, went to the Hughes Aircraft Company. The final cost of 20,000 missiles is estimated at over $6 billion. They're due to be mounted on planes in 1986, and they're very serious about it, too, folks.
Parents who feed their babies formula have been advised to watch out for signs of contamination in the cans. The Food and Drug Administration has received three reports about bad Enfamil formula cans, two in Chicago and one in Albany, New York.
And a report on Desi Arnaz. The entertainer was listed in good to satisfactory condition after surgery. The 64-year-old actor was operated on Friday for an intestinal ailment at a hospital in La Jolla, California.
And at least two persons, including a pregnant woman, required hospital treatment last night. That's Friday, when a 55-gallon drum of deadly hydrofluoric acid ruptured outside a Brooklyn warehouse and noxious fumes spread through a mainly residential area. A fire department spokesman said the area around the Carlton warehouse, located at 163 Carlton Avenue near Myrtle Avenue in the Fort Greene section, was cordoned off, but there was no evacuation. You have the other half of that story to read.
Which I think, well, okay. After a frantic search, Robert Becker threw water at me while I was reading the news. It's not empty, though. Okay, enough of this silliness. They don't throw water at each other during the news on most stations, Mike. Mike, you're not going out to get more water, I hope. Okay, Mike. This is the news, don't forget. Well, after a frantic search, Robert Becker, Emergency Medical Service Borough Commander, please help me, located a supply of soda ash at Kings County Hospital and trucked it up to the scene of the leak. The acid itself, rather than the fumes, was described as being deadly.
A woman, 3 months pregnant, was walking by the warehouse at the time, LeBeau said, and was overcome by fumes. An EMS corpsman who tried to help the woman was also overcome. Both were taken to Cumberland Hospital, where they were treated and released. The two were identified by hospital authorities as 19-year-old Miranda Walker and 23-year-old Neil Malone. She's the pregnant one. No addresses were given. The fire department's rescue company, too, is located across the street from the warehouse. Eight firemen were reportedly treated on the scene for exposure to the fumes.
Well done, Mike. Sorry about that. I appear to have spilled all this water over here.
My pen, my $27 pen is all wet, so are my pants.
I'll take your mind off that. Here. Now you're all wet.
No, it's the 2 o'clock album side.
The 2 o'clock album side is wet. Okay. Let's throw this cup away. Yeah. Wow, it landed right side up, too. How do you like that?
Yeah, but you broke it, and it's Buddy's cup.
It was broken before. Buddy, I swear, it was broken before. It was cracked. If you're on your way home and you hear this, that cup was cracked. All right? Back to the news. Nassau County Police are looking for a man they have nicknamed Rotten Teeth, who was wanted in a series of robberies at small stores on the south shore of the county over the past 2 months. According to the commander of the Nassau County Robbery Squad, Lieutenant Sean Spillane, the man has robbed various delicatessens, liquor stores, and gas stations, usually getting $50 to $100 in each robbery. Mike?
Lieutenant Spillane explains... Oh, he's terrible. That the man enters the stores and usually purchases Merit cigarettes. Pulls a handgun and demands money. Police describe the man as being 25 to 30 years old, 6 foot, weighing 200 pounds, with brown curly hair, white in a fair complexion, and a discolored or rotten-looking teeth, and a noticeable chip on a front tooth. Anybody who has information is asked to call the Nassau County Robbery Squad at 516-74.
I don't know the number.
611-95. And you have the weather.
I do?
You
know I do. How am I supposed to read this, Mike? The teletype machine has typed over itself about 50 times. I'll try. Cloudy and cold with the chance of a few snow flurries tonight. Lows in the 20s. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Highs in the 40s. Clear tomorrow with more lows in the 20s. Right. No warnings or advisories or anything else in effect, except if you're listening to the radio station, please be careful if you're driving especially.
That's true. You'll never know what's going to happen next.
It's WUSB Stony Brook.
And it's 203. That's Connecticut.
The voice of Long Island.
And it's raining in the studio here.
Well, it's time now for our 2 o'clock album side, only 3 minutes late.
That's really very good, considering, you know, it's us.
Considering what's going on here. Mike, I can't believe we were throwing water at each other during the newscast. That's a new
low.
No, I wouldn't even call it that. That's too much of a
compliment.
Yeah, there's another word for it that I don't know yet.
Yes, there is, but you can't use it on the air. It only is rivaled by the time when Nancy Bellucci unexpectedly put an ice cube down my back.
Yeah.
And my reaction.
Your reaction was interesting, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Too bad we don't have ice cubes tonight, but...
I'll just stand outside and I'll turn into an ice cube with all this water.
We have a full water cooler, too, so we can have all sorts of fun.
Thanks to me and Buddy.
Oh, you filled it today.
Yes, we did.
Very nice.
Yes.
It would have people chip in
14,
and do something.
Yes. It would have only cost $14 a month to have the service come around and fill it up and get us unlimited cups. But oh no, we're so cheap around here.
I didn't know there was a water service.
Yes, there is. And it's probably a lot cleaner water than we got. We got our water from the bathroom.
Well, it being 2 o'clock on a Saturday morning,
it's 2:04.
Doesn't give us leave to talk about bathroom water.
That's true. Let's soak up this water in here, though.
But we do have an album for you, and it's a good one. Interesting one, anyway.
Yeah, something that we've never really done anything like this before. On.
We just, we found this band here.
Yes, you did.
We had quite a few suggestions, too, and we thank everybody for those suggestions.
More suggestions than we could handle, and a lot of the stuff sounded really very interesting. But
we couldn't find it. That was the whole problem.
Not at all.
Well, we found a couple of things, but the really interesting stuff we weren't able to. Well, we did find one band that I bet nobody has ever heard of before. They're on Prophecy Records.
Uh-oh.
They're called Pollution. Yeah, there's a little picture of a chick on the front of the cover with a gas mask over it, looking into an egg. And on the back, there's a picture of the same little chick lying on his back. His feet sticking up in the air. Symbolism there. Well, the band consists of John Lambert, Richard Lewis, Christian Mostert, Dennis Kenmore, James Quill Smith, Dobie Gray, and...
Dobie Gray? We
Wait
can't
a minute.
Play him.
Wait a minute.
We
Dobie
him,
Gray.
We had him as a classical album side a few months ago, and we can't play him.
Suddenly this band is not obscure anymore. Dobie Gray is in this band. Okay. Dobie Gray, as
calls,
you know...
You know what that calls for?
Has known for that song, Drift Away.
You know what that
many
calls
years ago.
For?
What?
A dial tone.
Okay, we got a dial tone for that. And there's one more member of the band, Tata.
Tata?
Yeah. Both Tata and Dobie Gray are lead vocals and percussion. Band once again is Pollution. We'll hear five songs, starting off with Traveling High with the Lord. This Feeling Won't Last Long, Ballad of a Well-Known Gun, Do You Really Have a Heart, and Dry Dream.
And none of it will be in dub.
Sometimes I feel like a jigsaw puzzle, and I long for someone to put me together. Just take the time to make all the pieces fit. Sometimes I feel like yesterday's newspaper, threw it in the street, 'cause everybody said what I had to say the day before. apart and going down slow for a picture frame that's run out of fuel and got no place to go, no place to go.
Well, there you have it. That's our 7 o'clock album side for tonight. And you heard it at 2 o'clock. That is a band known as Pollution. Now, just before the album started, we rattled off who they were. So there's no sense in going through who they were again, but we will tell you that the album is on Prophecy Records, distributed by Atco. And the album is called Pollution. The songs we heard were Traveling High with the Lord, This Feeling Won't Last Long, Ballad of a Well-Known Gun, Do You Really Have a Heart, and Dry Dream. Well, here on Radio Free Long Island, the program is called The Voice of Long Island. I'm Mike Uhas. Eric Corley's out for lunch, and he should be back in a matter of moments or hours. Well, anyway, we have still plenty of good music and other good things coming up your way, so don't turn that dial. Don't tune it anywhere else but 90.1 FM. Coming up at 3 o'clock is Rochelle Goldman and her program of various rocking new wave styles. In any event, a little bit before this classical album side, I somehow mentioned that one of my favorite Eagles tunes was by a fellow by the name of Tom Waits. He's the guy who wrote it. And so, true to form, well, we'll have to just play Old 55.
1, 2, 3, 4. I'm
Tom Waits off Closing Time. Old 55. Here's a tune from Margie Adam. AT&T short lines, we have Eric Corley on the other side of the phone.
Hello?
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Come on.
I dropped the telephone here for a second. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi. So now you're at a deli. Is that...
I am at that.
You that is correct, eh?
Yes, I am. I am in a deli.
And you are picking up food for us.
Food, yes. Lots of food, good food, stuff to eat for us back at the station.
Okay, so...
For our purposes only and no one else.
And Rochelle, too.
Rochelle as well. Rochelle, who was coming on at 3 o'clock in the morning and going until the wee hours.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. So how was the... Was there any snow or anything on the way?
Oh, there's no snow outside. It's very plain, but cold.
Yeah.
It could be snow at any moment, and there probably is at many points in the island. But so far, the Stony Brook, East Pawtucket area, has no snow whatsoever.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
It is, isn't it?
It really certainly is.
Yeah. What's it doing back at the station? How is it? How are things?
Well, it's 1 degree. That's 34 Fahrenheit.
Uh-huh. It feels about that outside.
Yeah.
I'd say a thermometer is accurate.
Well, at least you're dry.
Yes, I am.
Well, in any event, why don't you go pay for all that stuff and...
They're looking at me now kind of strangely, so I'm going to pay the money.
Okay.
And then leave.
And then...
And hope they'll be able to do that without anybody suspecting a thing.
Okay, and then...
Not that I did anything wrong. I suspect people will suspect things anyway.
So then perhaps by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Perhaps by 3 o'clock you'll have our dinners.
What time is it now?
It is 2:37 a.m.
2:37?
Yes, that's...
We're back by 2:52.
That's 1:37 a.m. Okay, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Soft, gentle breeze.
Cafe Orchestra. And the tune we just heard was The Ecstasy of Dancing Fleas. Right here on the Voice of Long Island. Eric's not back yet. Well, it's not 2:52 yet. He said he'd be back by 2:52 with the food. It's only a quarter to three. It's 2:46 actually right now. Just flipped over. And we heard a couple other things there. Got a very interesting telephone call from young lady named Teresa. She says she was listening in Medford, but she was only pulling my leg because she knows how we like to make fun of Medford. But saying that it was actually snowing in New York City not all that long ago. And really no particular snow this much east of, that much east of Huntington. So that's your, you know, we rely on our listeners. We sure do. We rely on our listeners to give us information on the latest weather. Anyway, Eric's coming back shortly, so you don't have to hear me babble on all that much more. So in the meantime, here's something from John McLaughlin from his new LP.
That's Human Switchboard, not to be confused with Human Sexual Response, which many people do. The album's called Who's Landing in My Hangar? In This Town is the name of the track we heard. 2:55 on a Friday night, Saturday morning type thing, you know. I'm Eric Corley, back from the deli. Yes, and Mike now is outside stuffing himself. I was the one who was hungry. I went out to get something to eat, and he is the one who has left the control room now and is outside in the newsroom. Munching out, so to say. 1 degree we have in Stony Brook, 34 on the Fahrenheit scale. A little special something that I'm dedicating to Mike right now. A little Jacob Miller, you know.
Dreadlocks can't live in a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks can't live in a tenement, yeah. Too much su-su-su-su-su, too much watchy-watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su, too much watchy-watchy, yeah. Dreadlocks can't live in a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks can't live in a tenement, yeah. Too much su-su-su-su-su, too much watchy-watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su, too much watchy-watchy, yeah. Dreadlocks can't live in privacy. Anything you do or near God see. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su. Dreadlocks can smoke and pipe and tea. Too much informers and too much bees. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much su-su-su-su-su. Dreadlocks can live in a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks can live in a tenement, yeah. Can't penetrate in a tenement, yeah. Can't penetrate in a tenement, yeah. Dreadlocks can live in a tenement, yeah.
Dreadlocks can't live in a tenement. Yeah, to my sister, too much watchy-watchy-watch. To my sister, too much watchy-watchy-watch. Dreadlocks can't penetrate the rain, my hand. All he might do is tell Jajala. Too much watchy-watchy-watch. To my sister, yeah, penetrate in a tenement. Yeah, yeah, penetrate in a tenement. Yeah. Dreadlocks can't lick him piping keys. Too much informers and too much fear. Too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much too much watchy, watchy, watchy. Too much yeah, I debate in a tenement. Yeah, I debate in a tenement. Yeah. Dreadlocks can lick him piping keys. Too much Babylon and too much love. Too much
Yeah, Jacob Miller, Tenement Yard on 90.1 FM.
The voice of Long Island.
Yeah.
It's just about time for us to be heading on out of here.
As we can tell by that little theme there.
Yeah.
That's not really our regular going away theme, though.
It's close enough right now.
Yeah.
Rochelle is standing by.
She's waiting in the wings.
Oh, she is.
Rochelle.
Yes, I'm waiting right behind
her. She's waiting right behind us.
Filling in for Rob Zeiser.
Right.
I'm gonna say that.
Yeah.
She's going to be playing some strange band at the beginning of her show.
How do you know that?
Bands that blow up things.
Really?
That type of thing, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Studios.
Bands that blow up studios, eh?
That is correct. Well, Mike, it's been fun. It's been a pleasure and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll be back again next week.
Will we be?
I believe so.
If everything goes well.
I think it will.
Okay, well, it is just about 3 o'clock.
In the morning. And we'd like to remind everybody to come down to Lister's party tomorrow. Not just his show this time, but an actual party.
Yeah, he's having a real party.
The end of the bridge.
And there may be an admission charge.
I believe so.
Yeah.
But it's going to be worth it. Pablo Moses will be there.
Be there
at Stony Brook.
Be there.
Hey, you better be there.
Well, 3 o'clock, we're getting kicked out. You're tuned to WUSB.
Stony
Brook.
New
York.
If there's something you'd like to yell at us, we'll be here for a little while after the show, and we'll be happy to listen before hanging up on you.
516-246-7906.
Sorry, I got stuck.
I wonder what would happen if you dialed that number.
Don't dial that number.
No.
516-246-7901.
That is the number which you are supposed to dial. Well, I guess the thing isn't going to end.
It won't.
Uh-oh,
she's taking over.
Oh.
We're fading out. We're going away. There we go. We're gone.
Come on.
Plasmatics on 90.1 FM, and that's from their new album called Metal Priestess. The cut was called Doom Song, a perfect following to The Voice of Long Island on USB. I'm Michelle Goldman. I'll be with you till 7 in the morning this Saturday morning. These are the Rosillos on USB.